Continuing with a series we started just a couple weeks ago on Thursday nights, and that is on the topic of Christian character. We've contrasted that with what is oftentimes a focus in the lives of Christians is the image, their appearance, what people see and think of them, but that's not really what matters. What matters is the Christian character that we have in our hearts. And tonight we're going to look at the topic of diligence. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 22, the book of Proverbs is full of things to say about diligence, about the slothful, about the hardworking. I'm telling you a story, and no, I promise, teenagers, I didn't. This isn't something your parents told me. If this reflects true events, that is simply coincidence. But I heard about a kid whose mom told him, clean your room, it's a wreck. I'll be back in 10 minutes to inspect it. The kid looks around and there's clothes everywhere. There's clothes on the bed. There's clothes sprawled over the bed, the floor by the bed. There's clothes piled up on the dresser. There's clothes everywhere. There's toys everywhere. There's trash everywhere. And he realized there's no way that I can clean all of this in 10 minutes. So instead of cleaning, he got creative. He shoved everything under his bed until it was full and his bed started rising up off the floor. He shoved everything into the closet and by a miracle got the door to stay closed. He even found the last few items could hide behind the door and no one would notice. He turned off the lights, he fluffed up the pillows, and he sat on the bed like everything was perfect. Mom walks in 10 minutes later and looks around. Everything looks right, but nothing smells right. She opened the closet and about to attack her, came down on her, just everything he had packed into the closet. Everything fell out. I'll tell you, this kid didn't clean his room. This kid had managed appearances. I think sometimes this is similar to us as Christians. We look around our lives and see sin and problems and things we know we ought to address. And instead of addressing them, instead of coming and making those things right and actually changing the root of the issue there and looking at our hearts, we just move it out of sight. We hide our habits. We cover our attitudes. We make private our compromises. But I tell you, you can fool a lot of us, but you can't fool God. He's the one that sees our heart. He's the one who matters. In eternity's viewpoint, where it really matters, what good is the opinion of a preacher about you? How much value does it add to your eternity? What reward are you going to receive in heaven if Pastor Elijah thinks you're a great Christian? There's no crown for that, folks. What matters is what God sees, and he sees your heart. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. It says there, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business?" Says something about him then. Hey, you find somebody who's diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men. There's a lot of different passages we're going to move through this evening. I'd encourage you, if you can keep up, get a pen, write down some of these passages, and we're gonna see what the Bible talks about, what the Bible says, and actually commands when it comes to diligence or laziness. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would work on our hearts. I pray that this wouldn't be something that's dismissed by certain age groups because that's just for the young people. Lord, I know this is for me. I know this is for each and every one of us. And I pray that you'd apply it to each and every one of our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The world has quietly, this word here, diligence, is a word that has quietly disappeared from modern Christianity. Modern Christianity, if you would, there's some words they don't like, and they're words that seem harsh. Diligence has the idea of something that's difficult, something that's hard, something that's not nice, not polished, and it's because it is. Diligence isn't the moment in the spotlight. Diligence is difficult. But we live in a generation of Christians who want blessings without enduring a burden. That they want victory without sweat. They want growth without the difficulty of cultivating that growth. We want something that's instant. That's never how God has operated. If you look back throughout all of the Bible and even in history, from Genesis to Revelation, God blesses faithfulness. God blesses consistency. God blesses diligence. Not bursts of diligent moments. Faithfulness and diligence. That's what God blesses. Think of a farmer. We've got one here that's waiting for the rain to stop in Iowa so he can plant some corn. But you don't plan on Monday and expect to harvest on Friday, right? And you don't just plant when other people are driving by. Oh, I'm a farmer. I should probably start my tractor and get off my phone and look like I'm doing something. That doesn't cut it. A farmer would starve if you did it like that. But yeah, Christians, we want to come to church, and when everybody's looking, look like we know, you know, we're in our Bibles, and yet we're skipping our Bible reading, we're skipping our prayer time, we're drifting from church, and we wonder why our lives are so spiritually barren, why there is no fruit, but we haven't been cultivating any fruit. I've seen this with young people. I was talking before the service to a pastor, youth pastor actually down in Salt Lake City about his youth group coming up for our teen camp and this summer. And I've seen campers come in, and one of the things we require our teenagers to do at teen camp is do their devotions. See, how do you make sure? Are you looking over their shoulder? No, we print a custom devotion book for them, and then I include questions. So they have to read the passage in order to answer the questions. And man, you see some young people that can put on they're doing their devotions every single morning. They're getting points for the team for it. And maybe I've seen where some of the top verse memorizers at teen camp have the worst spiritual attitude. They would be far from the Christian Character Award. Mouthing off to authority, definitely not diligent. It's not just about what people see. I'll embarrass my brother, but I'm embarrassing myself. We used to run a cross-country race when we were kids. Every year, I think it was right around Labor Day, the weekend at school, they'd have a cross-country race. I was naturally fairly fast and didn't really have a whole lot of competition, so there was never a year I didn't win, but Mom wanted us to run every single day, she would walk. We had a lake there that was just under a mile, and there were a couple hills and whatnot, and we'd run around that lake 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, getting ready for this race. And Mom would walk one time around, and we were supposed to run, you know, like 3, 4, 5 times around. And we were lazy, rebellious young people. I say we, myself, I was. And there were times where I'd take a break, and I'd only run when Mom came by. So how did that work? Well, see, I'd run. And then there were some trees in the forest over there headed down to a lake. And so I'd go down there, wait for Mom to walk by. And after a little while, I'd run up out of the woods and run by like I've been running the whole time. And you know what? It got me out of actually working out that day. It was a lot more work to do that than to actually run, though. I tell you what it didn't do. It didn't prepare me for what I was supposed to be preparing for. Sure, I still didn't lose the race, but was I performing at the level I ought to have? No. Why? Because I skipped when no one was watching. when no one is watching, that consistency, when nobody's around and nobody sees, still doing right and still being diligent is so very vital. I've observed this when I've worked with employees and then working with volunteer, like young people volunteering at the church. There are times as an employer that I'd come up and walk up behind employees that did not know I was behind them. Or else, or I'd hope they didn't know, or else they wouldn't be doing what they were doing. And just, no one's watching, so I'm not going to work at all, let alone work hard. And that is not diligence. I tell you that those same employees, when they knew I was there, man, they're sweating and they're working and they're flying through things, doing it. Hey, if I'm standing right there and they know I'm standing there, man, they're diligent. No, they're not. They're putting on. Diligence is what's real, and what's real is what you are when no one is watching, when no one would know if you did or did not do right. That's character. Diligence, defined, literally has the meaning of a steady, earnest, energetic effort over time. Diligence is not defined as a moment. It's over time. It's continued. It's steady. It's earnest. It's energetic. It's not occasional burst. It's not emotional spikes of, hey, I'm excited to serve the Lord. I'm going to show up once. And then next Saturday, it's too hard. No, consistent obedience when no one is watching. So I want to move through here. There's a few truths that I want to touch on. And as I prayed, I pray that we wouldn't dismiss this as, oh, sure, my kids need to hear this. And our young people do. But we all need to instill this character into our lives. First truth is that diligence is a command, not a personality type. Diligence is a command, not a personality type. I've heard people say to me, well, I'm just not wired that way. When I say people, I'm saying I had somebody's parent who was an employee of mine, got their dad to come to me and say, well, my son's a good worker. He's just not wired to work that hard. No, he's just lazy and he's fired. God never commands certain personality types. He doesn't want you to say, hey, I want you to have, you know, a very outgoing personality type. That has nothing to do with it. But he demands diligence. He demands and commands obedience. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. I told you we're going to jump around a lot. We're going to move through some of these right now. It says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. That's talking about somebody who's lazy, somebody that slacks off in their work. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Whether it's talking about, hey, you want to fail? You want to come up empty? Be lazy. You want to see success? Be diligent. It's that simple. Even the world sometimes can realize this. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I'm going to take this a step further. We go to the job site when we're the employee, whether we're driving truck like Mr. Mike or down at the prison or wherever you are, welding. The Christian on the job site ought to be the hardest working person. I'm not saying the most talented. I'm not saying the most educated. You ought to be the most diligent. Every single one of us ought to be the most diligent. And if we're not, it's a bad testimony. It is. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. How? Serving the Lord. Because we can look at Ephesians chapter number 6, where it talks about how we ought to work and be diligent, not as men pleasers. Hey, when I worked out in the world, I did several different things. I washed windows. I painted. I did different things. I didn't work for my boss. I'm not supposed to do that work as a man pleaser. Now, if you work hard, usually you make your boss happy. We're doing it as unto the Lord. Nathan, when your mom says, go clean your messy room, you're not doing it for your mom. Even obeying your mom is not that. It's Who are you obeying when you're obedient to your parents? God. You're supposed to do that to the Lord. Show that when you don't do it right, so that when you go and as our illustration, you stuff everything under the in the closet and under the bed and you do all those things. Guess who you're sinning against? Is it just mom and dad? No. When you're lazy and you steal time on the clock at work, are you just sinning against your boss? No. We're sinning against God, because we ought to be diligent as unto the Lord. It is serving the Lord. God doesn't excuse laziness based off of our temperament. There are certain people that are more aggressive and outgoing in personality, and some that are more laid back in personality. Ezekiel and I are examples of that. Ezekiel and I, we had, there's a sport that we were involved in wrestling that we approached this way. Ezekiel said, well, I don't like that. I'm just not going to wrestle. For me, it was, you want me to run through a wall? Sure, I'll run through a wall. And that might not be a lot of brain cells in that decision. But that aspect of personality, we were both lazy when it came to working out. It didn't, me being more outgoing and aggressive in my personality didn't mean I was more diligent. It just meant I could mask my laziness a little bit better. I needed to deal with my own character. You see, you have an aggressive personality. You're a go-getter when especially when people can see and people are watching. When you're accomplishing what you want, and oftentimes what happens if you're relying only on your go-getter personality, what happens is, man, you'll go get it and be really diligent when the idea is new. But when you've done it for a while and the new idea smell and the new, you get a new job and, man, you work really hard at that job, but now you've been there for a few months and, don't try as hard. Or maybe you, when you first started reading your Bible every morning and we first started this discipleship course, you said, man, you were really after it. And then after a while, it's just not new anymore. It's not exciting anymore. And you see people like this hop from thing to thing to thing, but they never ever finish anything, right? And then you have people that are more laid back in personality, and when they're not diligent, they just never start anything. They say, why should I get up off the couch? My coffee is warm. The couch is comfy. What's the point? And there's two different approaches, but both of them are lazy. Personality can change how we do things and the tone in which we approach things, sure. But I'm not talking about personality here tonight at all. And this is not what God commands. It's not personality. An introvert must be diligent. An extrovert must be diligent. Oftentimes, a sanguine or extrovert person will be tempted to fly by the seat of their pants on things instead of prepare diligently as they ought. Young people, you must be diligent. Older folks, you're called to be diligent. We have one of the most famous illustrations of diligence in the entire Bible is in Proverbs chapter 6, where it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. It says, hey, you think you're something? Go learn from a little bug. Go look at the ant. She's got no boss. It's got no reminders. I've never seen them with the calendar to tell them. Nobody checking up over their shoulder. No applause for doing their job right, but they still work. Say, you lazy bones, go see an ant. We ought to be diligent. If an ant can work without supervision diligently, what excuse do we have? Because can I tell you, as Christians, we have a supervisor. We have the Holy Spirit. And many of us live our lives like he's not there. That's scary. That's dangerous. We live our lives like the Holy Spirit isn't inside of us, doesn't dwell in us as Christians. And we'll hurry up and work when other people are watching, but hey, God is watching. The Holy Spirit is within you. Shouldn't you be worried about being diligent for him? makes you think, where are your priorities? I think most Christians, most people care far more what man thinks of us than what God thinks. Now, we'll never say that out loud, but if we'd examine our hearts and our actions, actions speak so much louder than words. It's not just a cliche, it's true. If you only do right when others are around and do whatever you please when no one is watching, you don't actually believe in doing right, period. Who we really are in our character is not who we are when we're in church, when we're with our family, when we're here or there in front of people. Who we really are is the character we show when nobody is watching. Why? Because that is doing right or doing wrong only before God. Diligence is a command, it's not personality. Also, diligence is proven daily, not in dramatic moments. Most people want big moments. Most people want big blessings. They want to see success. There's some people that desire big platforms. Nowadays, they call a platform even if you've got a lot of people that listen to what you have to say on social media. And I've seen a lot of pastors who can't get people to come through the doors of their church that decide instead of pastoring a church, they're going to pastor the internet. And they're going to gain thousands and thousands of followers and build up a platform on the internet. Why? Because people listen and people talk to them and that makes them feel special. It's not even real. It's not even real. Then they attack each other. I dealt with this last week. There's a pastor who's his family's falling apart, all kinds of different things. Never met me. I don't know him. I've never met him. And he decides, I'm going to attack this guy because I disagree with something he said. And he attacks my character, saying all kinds of different things. And I called my dad and said, I've never met this guy. He doesn't know the first thing about me. He says, you know, you don't have any standards. I'm like, really? You've never met me? Just ridiculous. Yet they're living for that platform in front of people. They want big results. But God measures lives, our life, in our daily faithfulness, in quiet obedience, and in hidden consistency. Why? I think too many Christians today who have a good intention of serving the Lord and seeing great things done for God, we've read stories of days gone by when God has done great things through the lives and ministries of others, but we have the wrong idea of how. We see and read of the grandiose victories. Man, I want God to do that. But we're unwilling to get our heart right in the way that it takes for God to do that. We're unwilling to put in the difficult, consistent, hard work to really see souls saved in great quantities. It takes work. It wasn't, you see great victories. It didn't come without hard work that was unthankful work or thankless work where people weren't seeing all the work that was done to be put into that. Souls saved in large numbers. I think of back in Indiana, with Brother Volkland here. You talk about before really a big outburst of growth and the Lord bringing hundreds of souls to him, to salvation. It was year after year of knocking on tens of thousands of doors. Imagine, and no one showing up. And then go, not stop. Not have a moment, be like, well, that didn't work. Clearly gospel tracts don't work. Clearly door knocking doesn't work. I talked to a pastor in Canada this last week that says, well, yeah, for about 10 years there, we stopped knocking on doors because I just didn't think it worked anymore. And somebody just convinced me to buy some more tracts again. I said, really? I said, yeah, and I can't figure out why our church has shrunk so much. Really, you can't connect those two. It takes consistent work and diligence to see God do great things. You say, how? In our families. Parents, how many of you guys have ever seen a real big issue, a glaring flaw in your children, and you say, we need to address that. And you take an evening, you address it, and it's over. Never, never. We don't learn like that. Neither do our children. Sometimes it's like beating your head against the wall. You thought you got past something, and you start working on the next thing, and you go back and like, I thought we already did that. It takes diligence. But a lot of parents throw up their hands and hand the kid the iPad and say, hey, just go race yourself. And I'm not saying we ought to live in a world without technology. I'm preaching off an iPad tonight. But it ought not replace a parent. If we're going to be successful as parents, man, it takes diligence. It takes real diligence. A lot of parents want the successful look of their kids doing right without the diligence of raising them right. The consistency in discipline, the consistency in teaching and training up their children the way they should go. There's a sad case of this, where what happens is it becomes all outward. All becomes about your outward appearance and image. Remember, the antithesis to Christian character is worrying only about her Christian image. Or it's all focused about, oh, I want my kids to make sure they're sitting up straight in church. And all good things. But that's all it becomes. Because when you go home, you're not fighting the battles. And they're going to come to an age, we're putting on a show, it might be good for mom and dad, but if it's not real in their home and then their heart, they're going to walk away from it. Say, well, how do you know? I've seen it lots of times. Lots of times. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. We looked at this not too far back. He then is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. It's oftentimes the little things that we'll make excuses for. Think of an Olympic athlete. When you think of an Olympic athlete, what do you think about? Think about Usain Bolt or some of these really fast athletes. You think about them running past the finish line, putting on the gold medal and standing on a podium, and you see the American athletes drape the flag across their shoulders and the national anthem singing and they're crying and it's a big moment. But that's not what it took to be an Olympic athlete, was it? I was getting up and working out every morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock a.m. Working out, working hard, diligent, day in, day out from a young age, year after year after year after year, just to possibly maybe get there. Think of somebody going and getting a prestigious degree. In order, from the oldest to youngest, we have the dumbest down to the smartest of us kids. Just look at our SAT scores. They just got better as the kids went. I think my parents were just figuring it out. And once they got through us two boys, they had it set for my sister. But Zeke and I went to a College of Technology and Electrical Energy Systems Technology. Really, it was an associate's degree. And you'd be a technician. But my brother-in-law had to outdo us. If he was going to marry my sister, he had to be an actual engineer. And you think, oh, getting an engineering degree, walking across the stage, turning your cap, all that things. I happen to know that getting that degree took long hours of study and a lot of work by Sharon. Joking. A lot of work by Zach. It's just a lot of effort, a lot of time, a lot of investment, a lot that people, nobody'd ever see. A lot of, I can't figure this out. A lot of moments where you say, what am I doing? I shouldn't be in engineering school. we focus on these moments of success. We read stories about prayer warriors and we romanticize what a prayer warrior is. And we need prayer warriors. We do. But it's not just about a moment. I've watched a movie about a prayer warrior. It's a movie's over in an hour and a half. Being a prayer warrior is not about an hour and a half. Being a prayer warrior is hour after hour and day after day, seeking God's face in prayer. Diligence. I want to start with diligence as a Christian character trait to start with because I believe it is a key to the rest. Because in all of these other things that we're going to talk about, we must diligently do those things. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." There's another passage, other passages that say, "Do it with all thy might." So what are some practical areas of diligence? And we're going to tie this in, like I said, another as we go throughout the series. But I tell you, we ought to have diligence in this word. Bible says, when it comes to the Christian and his Bible, that we ought to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed. We okay? Okay. Study to show thyself approved unto God. When it comes to our Bible, it's not a matter of tradition. It's not a matter of going through the motions. It's not a matter of, yeah, I've read this passage before, and I can just kind of skip right through it. It ought to be a matter of deep and earnest study. Study has a requirement to it, and that is to do it diligently. We had a test this last week, yesterday actually. The young people in elementary chapel, there's about eight of them that are students in a Constitution 101 course. It's a college level course, but they're going, went through that, and they have different quizzes and study guides and notes and different things. They had a final yesterday. And I tell you, it was very obvious to me, I think all of them would tell you, yes, I studied. It was very obvious to me who studied for a couple moments and to study diligently. We had some folks who got 100%. I had one bonus question on there. We had one individual who got over 100% because they got everything right and the bonus question. And we had some fail. Say why? Because some of them are geniuses and some of them are not. No, actually, there's some of the smarter ones in the room that did worse because they didn't put in diligence. We ought to approach the Word of God with diligent study. Not to read it when we feel like it, but to study with purpose and diligence. Also ought to have diligence in prayer. Diligence, remember, it's a continued, enduring effort. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Prayer is not powerful because we can use big words. I think too many times, specifically public prayer, we get up in front of people and we pray and we think we have to use some special words, and that's not what the Lord's looking for. Prayer is not powerful because we can add in waterworks and emotions, and there are times where it's right to be emotional in prayer. Prayer is not powerful because you thought of it this morning. No, prayer is powerful because it's consistent. The power of prayer comes from continually approaching the throne of God. God seeing your faithfulness in prayer and blessing it. He actually desires to hear our prayers, which I think is humbling and amazing at the same time. God desires to hear our prayers. But we ought to be diligent in our prayers. Every day, multiple times a day. I'd venture to say every single one of us in this room wouldn't have to think very hard to think of a burden that we have. something that we need God to work and to move in our lives, and a burden that we're carrying. Maybe it's a family member we're burdened for, or a situation we're burdened for. Maybe, young people, you're looking forward to your, looking at your future thinking, I don't know. You're burdened about finances, you're burdened about health, you're burdened about whatever it is. Get some diligence in your prayer life and see what God will do. Then diligence in your work. This is kind of a given. It's when you talk about diligence, this is what people most often think about, is being diligent in your work. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Hey, we could stand here all evening, and I could take this whole time and just read passages from the Bible, just like this one, that talk about how we ought to do everything. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Now, two things to take away from that. So whatever you ought to do heartily as unto the Lord. So, you know what's really hard to do unto the Lord? Sin. Right? Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. So if we're doing something that we ought not do, that verse kind of excludes that. You ought not do that. Just get right. Now, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. This is your job. Not just your employment. This is everything you do, so that when we leave our job, I'm guilty of this sometimes. As a guy, you get done with a long day, and man, you've been going, you come home, I want to crash. And sometimes I found, if it's just been a long week, give me 10, 15 minutes, I can go crash, get up, and then I can be help again. But when we come home, we ought to be diligent. Diligence doesn't stay at the office. What does that mean? There ought to be a diligence in our attentiveness to the needs of our family. Not just materialistic, not like, oh, they need cheeseburgers and, you know. No, to walk in and be diligent in, man, my wife's worn out. She's had it today. She's had a rough, long day. I saw that about midday today. I came in, I was doing some running around, came into the office, and had already been a long day for my wife. Says, all right, why don't you head home? I'll finish up the day. Why? Because I had a lot of extra time and I didn't have things to do? No. Because diligence, that's my job. I might step on some toes. We're in the middle of moving right now, and it frustrates me that I have boxes and things piled everywhere. But a Christian's home ought not be a pigsty. You say, why? Whatsoever thy hands find to do, do it with all thy might, as unto the Lord. Does your home, not its fanciness, not its, I'm not talking about, do you live in a big home? Is it nice? I'm talking about clean. Clean. See, I've got kids. I do too. It is a constant, never-ending battle. I feel like we never stop doing dishes and we never stop doing laundry. It's like, I thought we did laundry yesterday. Yeah, we have another 3 loads today. How? Right, but you do it. You do it, even if it means the kids go down and mom and dad stay up an extra hour or two. You do it. Why? Because we ought to be diligent with everything the Lord gives us to do to Him, because we're serving Him. How we keep our home is a reflection of our testimony to God. Why? Because God gave us stewardship of that home. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. Why? God gave us that home, right? And if it's a pigsty, we're saying, yeah, I know God gave that to me, but I just don't feel like it. It's not that important to me. That's not who I am. I'm not a neat freak, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being diligent. It's a process, especially when you have kids and you add a dog in the mix. What crazy people would do that? Yeah, it's hard work. It doesn't mean there's never a mess, but it means you're being diligent after that mess. And it ought to be that we could be a good testimony if somebody would walk into our home. Now, if you walk into my home right now, you're going to see a stack of boxes like right at the front door. Because when I go home from church tonight, I have to take those out to the garage with the other boxes. We've got like 50 boxes packed already. I think we will have pots and pans for the next couple of weeks. But we have to be diligent. We have to be diligent. We've had situations where many in this room, I look around, we have jobs that we have at the church. I'm not talking about just ministries. It's a big building. We've divvied up different areas of the church to clean. And about once a year, we have to pull out that cleaning schedule, and Ms. Karn and my wife and others will sit down and say, all right, well, that's who's supposed to be cleaning it, but it's not getting cleaned. So we need to find somebody and ask somebody else to clean this area. Why? Lack of diligence. I'll clean the chapel. Okay, great. First 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe. And then months go by and say, man, that was from 2 months ago, that dirt down there. So are you complaining? No, I'm saying we ought to be diligent in every aspect of work that we have. It is our testimony. And I already touched on this, diligence in parenting. And I'll cross this over and say diligence in the home. A good marriage takes diligence. Neglect in our relationships, one with another, never, never, never turns out well. It takes diligence and hard work. I've heard Christians say this, sadly. I've heard people say, well, we just fell out of love. As then you don't know what love is. Get back into love then. That's kind of my answer. It takes work. It takes hard work. You know what doesn't take work? Getting on each other's nerves. You know what gets on my wife's nerves? About every day of my life, I wear a button-up collared shirt. Usually, only church service do I wear a suit, but I wear a button-up collared shirt. At the end of the day, when I take that shirt and throw it in the laundry, I only unbutton enough buttons to pull it over my head. Oh, it frustrates her. She does laundry, and she's like, I have to unbutton every single little button. Oh, it's easy to get on each other's nerves. Right? Right? Now, she's perfect. She doesn't get on my nerves at all. I also miss the laundry basket all the time. Usually my pile is next to the laundry basket. Like, could you just aim? But there's something in me as a guy that has to stand on the other side of the room and try to make a shot. It's just... And then I have giant clown shoes that if I leave one pair out, the whole floor is clogged up. It's easy, easy to have division and be at each other's throat. You know, it takes work just to have a good relationship. That takes diligence. That doesn't happen overnight, right? It doesn't happen overnight. Diligence parenting. You don't raise godly children on accident. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 says, and thou shalt teach them, it's talking about these truths, the word of God, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. A lot of parents rely on a church and a Sunday school program. They say the church is going to teach my children about Jesus. No. Church helps. Church is good. We have wonderful teachers that do a wonderful job. Parents, your job, commanded by God, is to diligently teach and instruct and discipline these truths to your children. We're often passionate about what is easy, but we're lazy about when it matters. I'll give you an illustration. I'm going to hurry up. Tell you what I mean. We talk about how talk is easy. When it comes down to doing it, that's when it's difficult and takes diligence. Before I was a pastor, I was involved in politics. I enjoy politics. Sometimes I enjoy it too much. And something that you'll find with conservative politicians is that when things are really hard for our country, it's very easy for them to say exactly what we want them to say. So this is what we need to do. We need to make elections fair and secure, right? We need to protect our constitutional rights. But then when it comes down to when we have the executive, we have the majority in both houses, and we can actually do something, well, where are they? Right? Right? And we come in church and say, amen, we need to raise our children for right. We need to raise our children for the Lord. We need to serve Jesus. We need to read our Bibles. We need to pray. We need to... And then when it comes time to doing it, that's where diligence is lacking. This is where diligence separates those who are successful from mediocrity. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24 says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Diligence determines leadership or followership. A slothful person will follow the crowd. A diligent person that's diligent about doing right will set the standard. And people will go away, or they'll follow that person doing right. Diligence will determine growth or stagnation in your Christian life. Will determine victory or defeat over temptations. Diligence is the key. We look at the story of Daniel. He was not great because of talent alone. Yes, he was chosen because he was somebody who was preferred, right? Then it talks about how this Daniel was preferred above all the other princes and presidents. Because why? Because an excellent spirit was with him. I found it interesting as I studied that phrase there, excellent spirit, means a diligence lived out daily. Lived out daily. It wasn't just he had a bubbling personality. So I think studying exactly what the Bible is saying in some of these aspects, instead of just skimming over, deep study is necessary. Let's talk about diligence there. Why was he preferred? And why was he given preference? Why was he promoted? Why was he so greatly used by God? Why? Because he purposed his heart that he was going to be diligent in doing what's right. Why can two men have the same job, go to the same church, have the same opportunities, and one shows up early, works hard, studies scriptures, the other one cuts corners, makes excuses, and lives casually? Give it 10 years. Those homes will not look the same. You can have the same opportunities. You can make the same, you can make less money at work, but if you're diligent with your finances, you can be better off than somebody who makes a ton of money and is not. Why? I've seen it. Diligence is key. Diligence is commanded, and diligence is rewarded. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always diligent about the work of the Lord. Diligence is not just about money and success and those type of things, I think, have become the focus of those are the type of blessings that you want. Oh, man, if the next blessing God brings my way, I want it to be $1 million. I want to be a promotion. It's not always that. One day, every single prayer, your faithfulness, your unseen effort, that is going to be rewarded by God, not in a temporary, monetary way, but an eternal way. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. The smallest deed done in obedience to God outweighs the greatest intention left undone. The smallest deed done in obedience to God outweighs the greatest intention left undone. We are commanded to be diligent. That's not about what people see. That's not about what you intend to do. That's not about what you desire to do. That's about the difficult, hard thing you do consistently and over a period of time. Diligence in doing right. Which means the why and what you're doing sometimes, for some of us, might need to change. You're not doing it for other people. You're not doing it for selfish reasons. You ought to be doing it unto the Lord. Chase and I are going to go work out Saturday morning. And we both shared one with another that when I work out by myself, I don't work out near as hard as when I work out with somebody else. It pushed me. All right, next thing. Let's go. The next thing. Why? Because when I work out by myself, I take nice long breaks. I sit down. I drink some water. Take a lap. Walk around. Then I get back to it. Why? That's human nature. It's human nature to slack off when no one's watching. It's human nature to be lazy. It's human nature to not give it our all. It's human nature to reserve. Oftentimes, it's human nature to hold back and not give your everything. Even when you're working out, there's times where you're trying to save yourself for the next workout. But like, okay, I don't want to push myself too hard here because I'm going to... No. Diligence is hard, gritty, difficult labor. Bus captains, soul winners, Sunday school teachers. That means this summer you need to sweat a little bit. Out there hour after hour knocking on doors. You want to see success? It takes diligence. You want to see God's blessing? You want to see souls saved? You know, wear some holes in the soles of some of your walking shoes as you go soul winning. It's not going to happen. I'm going to go out soul winning and then we're going to grow the bus route. No, it's Saturday after Saturday after Saturday, consistently, consistently, consistently. Why? God blesses diligence. He is who sees your diligence. I don't check up on your diligence. Most times, most of us here wouldn't know how diligent or not diligent you are. But God does. If we're going to have Christian character and not just a put on of an image as Christians, we are going to be diligent. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this truth. It is simple. It is important. And I pray that whatsoever our hands find to do, whatever ministry, whatever situation, whatever job, whatever task, whatever prayer life, whatever Bible reading, whatever it is that our hands find to do, Lord, everything you have for us, that we do it diligently, consistently, and faithfully for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.